tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the program Dimensions of Islamic Life, and inshallah azza wa jalla, in today's episode we are going to discuss excellence of Islamic knowledge, inshallah azza wa jal. And I am in the company of our esteemed colleague, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Once again, Jazakullah Sayyidi.
Ameen.
Marhaba. And alhamdulillah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the silsila.
Barakallahu wa sahib.
Listen, inshallah azza wa jal, before we begin, recite Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this regard, there is a wonderful hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, knowledge, as we are discussing the excellence of Islamic knowledge, Islamic knowledge is the legacy of the blessed Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. It is the legacy, it is what they have left behind for us, because the Anbiya and the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, alayhi salatu wa salam, they don't leave behind dirham and dinar and currencies and dollars and pounds, but they rather leave behind sacred knowledge, subhanallah, which the ulama, they inherit. And this is the legacy of the Anbiya. So if we want to gain the fair share from the legacy of the Anbiya, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, we need to invest our time and effort acquiring this wealth that they have left behind, subhanallah. Because wealth is something that can be stolen, whereas knowledge is that wealth that can never be stolen, subhanallah. It is preserved in the hearts of those who are acquiring it, the scholars of Islam, alhamdulillah. And knowledge is the way of gaining closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, it will enlighten us on ways in which we can gain closeness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we all yearn and we strive to gain closeness and nearness to Allah azza wa jal and in His court. But it is the knowledge that will enable us, inshallah azza wa jal, to gain that nearness, that proximity in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we will be showered in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His divine mercy. If we are striving to study His deen and learn the knowledge of the deen of Allah, subhanallah. Knowledge is the source of guidance. Yes, guidance. How do we receive guidance? It is through the knowledge. And knowledge is the source of protection from sins. Again, as we have discussed previously, that you know, a person who's not aware of the pitfalls of sins, about the dangers of the sins, then that person will not feel the need to protect himself or safeguard himself against the sins.
Yeah.
But it is naturally embedded in us that, you know, certain things are sins. Let's say, for example, stealing, lying. I mean, we don't have to really study to find out that these things are evil by themselves. But there are other things that we may overlook and consider it all right, it's fine, whereas that thing is a sin. Such as nowadays, to do backbiting, gossiping, it's yeah, like a fashion trend even. You know, we're sitting here catching some gossip.
Like if you don't do that, then you are a bore.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you are like missing out.
Yeah.
You know, or
you're laid
or
back,
you're a party yeah, pooper, or many names we are called, right? And then we get to know now that, you know, that sin has become so prevalent in the society, so rampant, that now the same sin doesn't feel like a sin. Like backbiting. How do we know the evils of this? When we learn the values of Islam, when we learn the Holy Quran, And when we learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we acquire Islamic knowledge, then only we know how grave of a sin it is. Some have said, or the pious predecessors, that this sin, right, backbiting, is worse than adultery.
Allahu Akbar.
Worse than adultery. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from such sins. And how do we safeguard ourselves, protect ourselves against these things? By the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We of course need the divine guidance of Allah azza wa jal, but together with that, we need to enlighten ourselves about these matters.
Yes.
You know, take matters in our own hands and then seek Allah's guidance to guide us further, inshallah azza wa jal, to put this knowledge to good use, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, knowledge is a great method of developing Allah's fear. And how do we know this? Allah Azza wa Jal states in the glorious Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. That summary of the ayah, or the message that we receive from this beautiful ayah of the Holy Quran, that indeed it is the scholars of Islam who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So yes, why are the scholars on such a level that fear Allah Azza wa Jalla? Because they study more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are engrossed in reading the things qala Allah and qala Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this. They are studying on a daily basis all these things. So it is fresh in their mind. So when they are doing something, everything is in their mind. Okay, am I doing something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I doing something that is that will earn us the wrath of Allah azza wa jal? Am I doing something that will be liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I going the wrong way? And that is in the disobedience of Allah azza wa jal.
And also, you know, with that knowledge, right, together with the knowledge, we find that our pious predecessors, that when the awliya Allah, when they sought knowledge, then also together with it, they would put that into practice.
Yes.
And, you know, both works hand in hand. And that actually enables a person to have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for instance, the Holy Quran, it teaches us and tells us that indeed salah, it protects you from indecencies and evils, right? But then we see, you know, people, maybe our friend is coming with us towards the masjid, or maybe our friend or our family member, whoever it may be, we see them performing salah, including ourselves too, right? And after performing salah, we see a person going back into sins. How? Because the Quran says that indeed salah protects from indecencies and evils. And the salah that this person did was supposed to protect him, that after he finishes his salah, when he goes out, he wasn't supposed to backbite. He wasn't supposed to lie. He wasn't supposed to cheat or commit any indecencies or any evils. He wasn't supposed to do that. So how is it that, you know, a person, despite offering salah, still commits indecencies? And this year also, it boils down to knowledge. And it is mentioned that the reason for this is that the people who are performing their salah and still are committing sins, it is because they performing their salah incorrectly.
Yes.
And that boils down to knowledge. You know, if one wants to be protected, if one wants their salah to protect them from indecencies, to protect them from evil, then they have to know, how must I perform ruku? How must I perform sujood? How must my pronunciation of Arabic letters be, my pronunciation of the Quran be? Now, if a person is performing salah and the pronunciation is all off, instead of ha, you're saying ha, it's getting all mixed up, and then the meaning as well, it also changes.
Yes.
And then you see some, you know, in ruku, come straight back up and back down again so quickly, within, you know, 3 minutes, and the salah is done. And then, you know, a person now would expect the same salah to protect them from indecencies and evils. How would it? Because, so we see, Munasab, that some people, you know, perform their salah, but yet still indulge in indecencies and evils. And it boils down to not having knowledge. And for that, a person, you know, must make sure that they learn how to perform ruku, learn how to make sajda, that when they make ruku, their back must be straight. When they go into sajda, then they must feel the soft bone on their nose. The forehead must be touching the ground as well. And when they are reciting Quran, then they must learn. SubhanAllah, Dawat Islami has such a beautiful book called Madani Qaida. They should learn that, you know, so that the pronunciation of the Arabic letters, they become clear to a person, and a person may be able to recite them. And that will enable them to recite the qira'ah correctly during their salah. Now, if this isn't in order, then how would a person, you know, expect for their salah to be accepted? A pious person saw one person performing a salah, and he was performing salah incorrectly. When he finished salah, this pious person told him that, how long have you been performing salah like this? He said, 60 years. He said, your 60 years of salah means nothing because you're doing ruku wrong, performing sajda wrong, reciting incorrectly. And we see that it all boils down to knowledge. So this highlights how important seeking knowledge is, not only, you know, for scholars, not only for ulama, but for each and every Muslim to seek knowledge, to seek knowledge about the Quran, to seek knowledge about salah, to seek knowledge about fasting, about zakah, about hajj. All of these are fard for a person to acquire and to learn. And also, Dawat-e-Islami has published such a beautiful book called Farz Ulum. And in that book, a person, that book is actually for every single Muslim, for every single believer, because the knowledge, the information that is in that book, it is compulsory for every single Muslim to know about that. It's just the basics, our essential. So it highlights how important it is that we should be seeking knowledge and also not shy away from seeking knowledge, because we find maybe a person is an elder and maybe he doesn't know how to perform salah correctly, maybe he doesn't know how to recite Quran correctly. Still, in that case, a person shouldn't shy away. Why should a person shy away from it when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged us, motivated us, and told us that seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave? Yes. Which means there is in our entire lifespan that we have, whatever age we may be, we still have to seek knowledge. I recall there was an elderly person, and here in South Africa, Durban, there was an elderly person, and he was 70 plus, and he would always inquire, how do I perform salah? If I miss one rakah in congregational salah, how do I cover that up? He would take out the Quran and he would go to a hafiz or to an alim and he would say, this qaf over here after the ayah, must I stop there? Must I continue? How do I pronounce this word? How do I pronounce that word? He was so curious, and this is him learning and rectifying himself. So we have to take in inspirations from all of these, because age, as they say, is only a number, you know. So there's no end to learning, no matter what age you may be, because the ocean of knowledge is so, so vast that a person cannot say, I know it all.
Yes.
A person cannot say, why are you teaching me how to perform salah? I learned in my days 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. You coming now and telling me that I must make ruku like this, I must perform sajda like this. Why? No. We shouldn't be, you know, having that kind of a mindset. Rather, we need to be an empty cup rather than a full cup. You know, because if you're an empty cup, you can absorb more. Otherwise, if you're a full cup, then what is a person going to gain? It will just be pouring out on the side, you know. A person will be gaining nothing like that. So knowledge is something that a person shouldn't be shying away from. Rather, a person should have this passion in them that, you know what, I need to go and seek knowledge. Knowledge is empowerment. Knowledge is power. With that same knowledge, a person betters his own self. Otherwise, which other way can a person better themselves other than knowledge? Knowledge is the only way in which a person betters himself. And also, this year was one aspect, right? Another very interesting aspect is that when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he ordered that the throne of Bilqis be brought in his kingdom, and the throne of Bilqis was huge, you know, in length and in height. It was very big, and it was adorned with jewelry and emeralds and whatnot. And where Bilqis kept her throne, there were so many vaults and doors together with that were sealing it off and protecting it. So to get to the throne of Bilqis, you had to pass through so many vaults, then only you get the throne of Bilqis.
It wasn't just a metal detector.
Yes, exactly. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he wanted the throne of Bilqis in his kingdom before even Bilqis can enter the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And why he wanted this was to show her that this is a sign of my prophethood and the truth, so that she may accept Islam. So what does he do? Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam asks in his kingdom, he asks his ministers and the jinnat are there as well, that who can bring me the throne of Bilqis? And one jinn stood up, Ifrit. He stood up and he said that I will bring it to you. And jinns, they are powerful, they are strong, they can go to from one place to another in a very short span of time. So he says that I will bring the throne of Bilqis to you before you could conclude with your majlis, before you can conclude with your meeting, the throne will be here. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he says, too slow. That's too slow. So a pious wali, a scholar in the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam, by the name of Sayyidina Asif bin Barkhiya rahimahullah, he stood up and he said that I will bring the throne of Bilqis within the blink of an eye. How short is the blink of an eye? It's so short. So he says, I will bring it. Sulaiman alayhi salam says, that is very good. You bring it and come. And Sayyidina Asif bin Barkhiya rahimahullah, he gets the throne of Bilqis through those however many walls they were. He gets the throne, and within the blink of an eye, the throne is in front of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. And the Quran, it documents this. And in the Holy Quran, it teaches us that Sayyidina Asif bin Barkhiya rahimahullah was an individual, a scholar who had knowledge of the book, which is why he had that power in him that he could bring the throne of Bilqis before Sulaiman alayhi salam within the blink of an eye. That shows how knowledge is so empowering, that knowledge truly empowers a person.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah, Sayyidi. This is so refreshing to hear about. MashaAllah, as you Ma'asa mentioned, that seeking knowledge is not an optional thing. Oh, you can do, or you have a choice. You don't want to do, never mind. No, it's not like that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it clear that talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli Muslim, that the acquisition and the pursuit of knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim, male and female. Now here again, some of us think that, you know, it's only the men folk, maybe the children, sons, they must go and acquire knowledge. Female folk, they must sit at home, cook and clean. That's all that their job.
The mindset today that normally people have.
Yes, and this is in the mindset that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us. That even the female folk that are at home, they must be knowledgeable. Subhanallah. And look at, as for example, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala, she was so knowledgeable. All the Sahaba, they would go to her if they had a question.
Allah.
To ask her the question. She was the muftiya, and all the women, they would come to her specifically for women-related problems. And we can conclusively say that half of our deen we have taken from Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, and we have learned from Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, because she, half the issues and the Sharia matters, they pertain to men folk, mm-hmm. and half to the female. Yes. So in this regard, alhamdulillah. So this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam nurtured this environment where everyone was gaining knowledge, whether men or women, and they were all encouraged to be showered in the ocean of knowledge that was being, subhanallah, provided by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam through his ahadith, through his teachings of the Holy Quran, alhamdulillah. And the Sahaba, they learnt and they became honorable people.
Subhanallah.
Once the same people of Arabia who didn't know how to read and write, subhanallah, and the literacy rate went through the roof. Subhanallah. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had brought this revolution to educate themselves. Once upon a time, the same people of Arabia that were known to be illiterate, it was the same people of Arabia that became the teachers for the rest of the world.
Subhanallah.
Because why? They gained knowledge of Islam, they gained knowledge and wisdom from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they became the world leader in the faculty of knowledge. Ashabi Suffa Sayyidi, subhanallah. Mm-hmm. Their example, it stands as a testament of the literary prowess. Wow. That they were, alhamdulillah, able, and they were so capable, and they had nothing to do the whole day except that Allah Azza wa Jal has stated this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has said this, and they would make the muzakara of the ahadith and the Quran.
Subhanallah.
And that was the first madrasa, first institute, and the first university of Islam. Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to shower them with his mercy, alhamdulillah, and used to look after them. And though those are the ones who became the pioneers, subhanallah, of the Islamic knowledge. Let's say, for example, Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is famously said by the muhaddithin that Aksara Abu Huraira. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has narrated the most of the ahadith, subhanallah, meaning a large number of ahadith, more than any other narrator, has been narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah. And who was he? He was among the Ashab Suffa. Subhanallah. He was in that university of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is famously known as Ashab Suffa, the people of, you know, how you say, a raised platform that was there by Masjid Nabawi Sharif. That's where they would sit. That's the part that is called Suffa.
So these were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who were poor, who didn't have much.
Yes.
And yet they still had this passion in them to seek Islamic knowledge.
Exactly. Even the wealthy of the time, they would come and seek knowledge from them who had nothing.
Allah.
Subhanallah. So look at their honor and respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had elevated. Allahu Akbar. And the Ashabi Suffa, Allah. What would have been that the time and the atmosphere at that time, subhanAllah, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the sound of Qala Allah and Qala Rasul was echoing, Allahu Akbar. So yes, that is the same knowledge that we need to respect and revere. Most of you mentioned that the age shouldn't be a factor that should bother one, you know.
Yes, definitely.
Because age, as we say, is just a number. And sometimes we may make excuses, no, I'm too young, I'm too old, or, you know, I'm too busy. There are thousands of excuses, really. But if we are determined, then there's no excuse. So those elderly people of our society that have grown old and they haven't learned how to make wudu, how to make ghusl, then this is imperative that the time to start learning is now. Actually, you mentioned the example of a person who was in his 70s. My nani, she was just before she passed away. You know, she was in her old age. I remember in my childhood, I used to notice this and I used to see her. She was learning to read the Holy Quran.
Subhanallah.
In her old age. When and she was diagnosed with the Alzheimer,
Allah,
you know, she would forget things, but she still continued to learn. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
This was so inspiring to me that, you know, if she can, then what's the excuse for anyone else?
Yes.
For me, for example, I'm still young. I should go and strive and learn, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So these are the events that motivate us sometimes,
yes,
you know, and the old age never stopped her. And sometimes even I used to teach her. She would ask me, because I used to go to madrasa, so I knew a little bit, whatever I knew, I used to, you know, sometimes check her sabak, and, you know, alhamdulillah, it was very inspiring.
So we need to take that as an inspiration,
yes,
you know, for someone who is young or someone who is old. It's inspiring for all ages, you know, as they say that, the our children today are the future leaders tomorrow. How do we make them that leader of tomorrow? And a leader doesn't just become a leader like that, you know, overnight. No, a leader becomes a leader through knowledge. Without knowledge, you can't become a true leader. And the first, if we want our children to be the future leaders of tomorrow, then it starts at home. Because, as they say, the first institute of a child is in the lap of the mother.
Yes, true.
Now, if at home, if the parents do not have enough knowledge and cannot educate the child, and once that when the child grows up, then the child will go to madrasa, will go to school, will go wherever they would seek knowledge there, how can you trust them? Maybe the child is going to madrasa and he's playing games. You can't really trust it. That's why it all stems and starts from home. If the parents have knowledge and they instill those characteristics and those knowledge, they pass it on towards their children and mold their children, then when their children grow up, these are the children who would become future leaders of tomorrow, true leaders of tomorrow. Why? Because of knowledge. Knowledge is the base of everything, and that is what distinguishes a human from an animal. It's knowledge. Otherwise, you know, what major difference would there be? So knowledge is on a very high pedestal, and we shouldn't be taking it as lightly that, you know what, it's just knowledge. It's okay if I don't know, so what, it's fine. It's not harming me in any way. I'm living my own life. No, it will harm
it
a
is
person.
Harming. It is harming a person who, you know, as it is important and necessary for us to, when we are making ghusl from janaba,
right,
to take the water up to the nostrils, right, to sniff it. But if a person is not aware of these rulings, and he's been making his ghusl without putting the water through the nose, and he's leaving certain body parts out, because in ghusl, there are certain body parts that need extra attention.
Yes.
The water doesn't easily reach there, especially for females.
Right.
So those places, those corners, then and if we haphazardly make ghusl and we think, oh, are we done? Right? And then the person stands up for salah, he's thinking, I'm reading salah and everything, mashallah. And he reads salah for years like that,
Allah,
without fulfilling Allah, the fara'id of ghusl. Then what happens? All his years of worship means nothing.
Yeah.
He has to repeat everything. Rules that, you know, if one has done this and has continued his life without making proper ghusl, then his salah didn't even begin, because this is the shart.
Yes.
So, prerequisite. If the prerequisites are not met, then how can you now embark on the journey? We need to now adhere to these. First, the basics. Cover the basics, inshallah.
Yes.
Fardhu ulum is there, subhanallah. And not only through the books. Dawat Islami has created the platforms where, no matter which walk of life you come from, let's say, for example, you are busy. You are a businessman.
Right.
Chowkdars is there for you, subhanallah. The wali comes to you. Comes to your business place, and if you have a little bit time, 5 minutes here, and you can ask certain questions, whatever you're confused about, and he will, inshallah, try to help you out, you know, maybe practically show you how the salah is performed,
right,
you know, the method of making ruku properly, making sajda properly, etc. And in this way, we can all learn, alhamdulillah. If, let's say, for example, you are an adult, and you feel shy, okay, it's too late for me to join madrasa now with the kindergarten. So, alhamdulillah, we have adult classes.
Subhanallah.
Where all the adults are only participating. So there is no shame, no blame, nothing.
Yes, no embarrassment.
No embarrassment.
Everyone is on one level.
Yes.
You know, Murasab, it's actually a shaitan who doesn't want us to seek Islamic knowledge.
Yes.
Because shaitan knows that, you know, if a person seeks Islamic knowledge, how empowering that can be for a believer. And there's a very beautiful narration, and that is once shaitan, he is thrown on the water, and all his other mini shayateen, his disciples, they came to him, and shaitan asked them, what have you done? What have you done today? What have you done? So one says that I broke a marriage, separated husband and wife. I made one commit fornication. I made one steal. I made one commit murder. And they bring in all of the cases. And there was one shaitan, he came and he said that I stopped a child from going towards the madrasa. Shaitan got happy, so happy he got. He told that shaitan, come here. And he seated him next to him. And the other shayateen, they got jealous and they're wondering, what is happening here? This shaitan did such a small, minor thing, and we did big, big, big things, and yet he still got all the credit and we got nothing. So Iblis, shaitan, told them that, okay, come with me, I will do an experiment, and then through this experiment, you will understand why this person, the act that he did, why I appreciated it so much. So shaitan, in the form of a human being, goes towards the masjid, and all the his disciples, they are behind him, and he's in the form of a human being. So there was a worshipper, a normal worshipper, coming towards the masjid, and he's in a rush. It's Fajr time is going. So this shaitan stops him and says, before you go in, I have one question. And that question is, he sees a small bottle here. He took out a small bottle and he shows it to him. He says, tell me, can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fit this entire world into this small bottle? And this worshipper, he thinks, he ponders, and he says, no, it is impossible for the whole world to fit in this tiny small bottle. Can't. Shaitan tells the worshipper, okay, that is all I needed to know. Thank you very much. The worshipper, he is gone. And Shaitan tells all these other shayateen, his disciples, that did you see this person? In an instant, in a moment, he lost his iman. All the worship, all of his salah, and everything that he's been doing for so many years, all of it are gone to waste now. Then a scholar comes, an alim. He comes and shaitan asks him the same question also, that can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fit the entire world into the small bottle of mine? This alim, when he hears this, immediately he says that leave alone this entire world into a small bottle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can fit 1,000 more worlds like this through the eye of a needle. And this alim said that you are definitely shaitan. And then shaitan told his disciples that did you see the difference between a worshipper and an alim, a scholar, a person who has knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has knowledge of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has knowledge of Islam. This is the difference, and that is why I appreciated what this shaitan did more than what all of you did. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that one scholar, one faqih is more stronger, more weightier upon shaitan than 1,000 worshippers.
Allah.
So this highlights how important it is for us to be seeking knowledge of being.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. Yes, so these are some of the ways we get to realize how important it is to seek the knowledge of deen, because it is of utmost importance, Sayyidi.
Definitely.
Without which we will be left in darkness, and knowledge is light.
Subhanallah.
And truly it is light. Al-ilmu nur. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten our hearts with this nur of the knowledge that we seek by the medium of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to learn, the obligatory knowledge, the Islamic knowledge. Inshallah azza wa jal. And now, dear viewers, we have a wonderful kalam, subhanallah, wah kya judo karam hai, shahe batha tera, written by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma and recited by Rukne Shura, Maulana Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Hafizahullah. Inshallah azza wa jal, we'll be back shortly after this kalam. So stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala al-muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Aqa, Aqa, آقا آقا.
وہ کون ہے جن کے در پر مانگنے والا نہیں نہیں سنتا؟ وہ کون ہے جن کی رحمت کا دریا خود پیاسوں کو تلاش کرتا ہے؟ وہ کون ہے جن کے اشارے سے لاکھوں کی شفاعت ہو جائے گی؟ وہ کون ہے جو محشر کے دن اپنے غلاموں کو اپنے ہاتھوں سے جام کوثر عطا فرمائے؟ یقیناً وہ کوئی اور نہیں جود و کرم والے، سخاوت والے، رحمت والے رب کے حبیب ہمارے آقا ہیں.
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا تیرا، میں ہی سنتا جسوس میں ہے دریا تیرا، آپ پیاسوں کے تجسوس میں ہے دریا تیرا،
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحا
تیرا، میں تو ماں
حبیب یعنی محبوب وہ محب میں نہیں میرا تیرا یعنی محبوب وہ محب میں نہیں میرا سے سو لاکھ کو کافی ہے اشارہ تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحہ تیرا میں ہی سنتا
چلکتا تیرا جس
دن چھو ملے جام چھلکتا تیرا
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہبت ہا تیرا میں ہی سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
تیری سرکار میں لاتا ہے رضا اس کو شفیع شفیع جو میرا غوث ہے اور لاڈلا بیٹا تیرا جو میرا غوث ہے اور لاڈلا بیٹا تیرا
واہ کیا جو تیرا میں ہی سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہبت ہا تیرا سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویورز. سبحان اللہ. This was the wonderful kalam in the praise of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wah kya judo karam hai shahe batha tera nahi sunta hi nahi mangne wala tera. Allahu akbar. Sayyidi, what can be said about the generosity of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there was no such thing as, you know, he refused anyone or he denied anyone if anyone asked him for anything. Subhanallah. Even if someone asked him for Jannah, he would say given. Anything else, subhanallah. And mashallah, that is the generosity of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we are back after listening to the kalam, inshallah, continue with our today's topic of discussion, Sayyidi, the virtues of Islamic knowledge, excellence of Islamic knowledge. The excellence of Islamic knowledge is that Allah Azza wa Jal granted Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam superiority over the angels on the basis of knowledge.
Subhanallah.
Because it was the knowledge of the name of things that Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And he asked the angels, if you are true in your claim, then mention the name of these things. They said, Subhanaka, la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana.
Subhanallah.
They had no knowledge of it. And then Allah Azza wa Jal asked Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Then Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam mentioned the names of those things because he was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Likewise, and they are the most knowledgeable people in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the Anbiya and the Prophets alayhi salam. Thereafter, the most knowledgeable individual, the most knowledgeable creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what does Quran have? Quran has the knowledge of everything, whether it's dry or wet. Subhanallah. That is mentioned in the glorious Quran. So no matter the knowledge of what, it is all embedded within the Holy Quran.
Yes.
And who's the teacher of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because he didn't have a teacher. He is al-ummi. Because he is the teacher of the entire mankind. Subhanallah. Al-muallim. He is al-ummi. At the same time, he is al-muallim. But who's the teacher of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an.
Allah.
That Allah Azza wa Jal is the teacher who taught him the Holy Qur'an. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. If the teacher is Allah Azza wa Jal, who's the knower of everything, Subhanallah, so what can be hidden from the personality Allah, and the knowledge Allah. Of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this was the knowledge of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon him the knowledge of the previous people and the knowledge of the future, Subhanallah. You know, as the shair says, Hudud-e ta'ir-e sidra huzur jante hain. Jo ho chuka hai jo hoga huzur jante hain. Teri ata se khuda ya huzur jante hain. So by the bestowal of Allah Azza wa Jal, the knowledge of everything has been given to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he has given us this instruction that learn the knowledge of deen.
Yes.
Strive, make efforts. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, our job is to strive.
Right.
And then the completion is upon Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy, whom He bestows with whatever He wishes, Subhanallah.
Yes.
And then the knowledge He has bestowed upon the Anbiya Ikram, that was the most supreme form of knowledge.
Right. And also, Munasab, you know, the Islamic knowledge that a person seeks, right? That knowledge, Islamic knowledge, Dini knowledge, it is what, you know, can protect the iman of a person.
Yes.
And nowadays what we see that most people mostly look towards more of the worldly knowledge, you know, and worldly knowledge, there's no harm in that, there's no problem in that, it's good. But if a person is only seeking worldly knowledge and not Islamic knowledge, then it becomes detrimental.
Yes.
Because this worldly knowledge is only for this dunya, it's only for this world, it's going to help you for this world, which is good. But at the same time, a person should also seek Islamic knowledge, which is of higher importance and greater importance than worldly knowledge itself. Because worldly knowledge cannot save a person's iman. The only knowledge that can save a person's iman is the knowledge of Islam, the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. If we have to stick to that, if we have to adhere and follow that, and together with that, we are learning, and at the same time, we are practicing upon it. And then the third step is to spread that knowledge towards others as well.
That is the thing, Zaidi. It is very crucial and very important. Knowledge is only as beneficial as we make amal on it. A person who has the knowledge but doesn't act in accordance with that knowledge, it is like a donkey upon whom books are loaded and he benefits nothing from it.
It's just carrying it.
Yes, he just carries the burden of the knowledge and the books.
Allah.
And our choice, you know, when we are given choices in life, look at the choices of the Anbiya Ikram. Sayyidina Sulaiman ala Anbiya wa alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that he is that king. There have been only four kings that have ruled over the entire globe. And one of them is Sayyidina Sulaiman ala Anbiya wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Two Muslims, two non-Muslims. Two Muslims were Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sayyidina Dhul Qarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, two individuals. And the two non-Muslims, they were Nebuchadnezzar and Namrud. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, how did he attain the kingdom of the entire world, Subhanallah? He was given a choice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choose knowledge or kingdom. And he chose knowledge,
Subhanallah.
And by the barakah of attaining knowledge, he also acquired the kingdom of the world, Subhanallah. So best of both, Alhamdulillah. So what comes first? That is the knowledge, Subhanallah. As we all know, readers are leaders,
yes.
Subhanallah. They are those who lead us, Alhamdulillah. And Subhanallah, the greatest leader of all is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is the most knowledgeable individual and the being in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, until next time, Jazakallah Sayyidi,
Ameen,
for partaking in today's program, and inshallah we'll continue with our discussion until next time. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.